All right, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, on God, amen. So I was considering concluding the life of Jacob today, but I feel like I'm going to do one more week after this. As I read his life, I get deeper, and I feel like Jacob is just, he's too amazing to end here. If you turn to Genesis chapter 35, that's where our text is going to start today. Genesis chapter 35. Before we get into this, last week we talked about when God wrestled with Jacob. We talked about how we always, whenever we hear the meditations of this passage, we always hear that Jacob wrestled with God. It's actually the opposite. We talked about how it's God that was wrestling with Jacob because God wanted to change something in Jacob's life. And then after he wrestled with Jacob, as he was wrestling, Jacob put up a fight. And the Bible says when the angel realized he could not overcome, it says he touched his hip, busted his socket, and Jacob has a limp. So what happens? Jacob decides he's going to cling to God and says, I won't let you go until you bless me. So then God decides, okay, what's your name? He says, my name is Jacob. Jacob, we discovered, meant deceiver. The word Jacob means deceiver. So basically he's standing before the angel and saying, what's your name? He says, I'm a sinner. You know who I am. I have sins, I'm weak, I'm a deceiver, I'm crafty, I have all these evil things. He says, now your name will become Israel. That's chapter 32. Israel means prince with God. So God takes Jacob, who's down, full of sin, full of deceit, full of craftiness, and he says, now you are Israel, prince with God. So we're going to read Genesis 35, but just in between 32 and 35, obviously it's 33 and 34. 33, Jacob meets Esau, and he's terrified. He says he's bowing. He does seven bows as he gets closer to Esau. Finally, Esau comes, accepts him, forgives him. They love each other. Everything is great. Genesis 34 is a funny story. I mean, it's not funny, but Dinah ends up actually getting raped by some. If you look in chapter 34, it says, Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. He took her and lay with her and violated her. So he ends up raping Dinah. And the brothers of Dinah, who are the children of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, said, we can't handle this. So the father of the guy that raped Dinah, who is Jacob's daughter, said, hey, let's make a deal. My son really wants to marry your daughter, whatever. So the sons say, we have the perfect deal. In order for your son to marry our sister after he did this terrible thing, we need you and all of the men to be circumcised. They said, fine, that's it. They all got circumcised. As they were in the healing process of their circumcision, they were weak and they were in pain. Jacob's sons go in there and they massacre all the men of that country. If you read verse 30, chapter 34, verse 30, just before we introduce 35, it says, then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I. God one day is telling him, you're no longer Jacob, you're going to be Israel. You're going to be this great person. You're going to have God's power. You're going to overcome any man that comes your way. This is God's promise. What does he do? First, he's living in fear of Esau, and so he's giving gifts because he's afraid that Esau is going to kill him. And then he allows his sons to make a stink of his name. 35, chapter 35. It says, then God said to Jacob. What's the problem here? Then God said to Jacob. What do we see happen in chapter 32? Huh? He's not referring to him as Israel. One day God is saying, your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. Two chapters later, he's calling him Jacob. What happened? You see, Jacob had made a commitment a long time ago. And we talked about this in Genesis 28 when he saw the ladder. He made a commitment when he understood God's love for his life that I'm going to be devoted to you. I'm going to consecrate my life to you. I'm going to give you my possessions. I discovered that you are with me in my life and he makes all these promises to God and vows to God. And we have in 35, then God said to Jacob, you're no longer Israel. You went back to the Jacob life. How many of you can, if you were to look at your life now, can you remember a time that you were in Israel? There was a time where you were intimate with God. Your time was for His service. You wanted to pray more. You wanted to give more. You wanted to sacrifice more. You wanted to give God so much. And then you look down and you say, I'm no longer Israel. I'm no longer the person that was so committed to God. I'm seeing so much of Jacob in my life. Chapter 35 says, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. What does Bethel mean? Who knows what Bethel means? In Arabic, it's Beit El. So maybe it's easier to understand it that way. It's Beit El. House of God. Very good. Bethel means the house of God. He's saying, go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where you had committed your life. And dwell there. Maybe when you go back to the place where you saw the ladder and you made those vows and you consecrated the stones and you said, this place is where God is going to dwell. God is telling you to go back to a point in your life where you made a commitment. You said, that's it, God, I'm your servant. No more junk, no more wasting my time with people, no more loving the world, no more all this junk. I want to be all about God. I want to commit my heart to God, my life to God. I'm sick of the world. Can we all think of a time where that might have happened? Maybe it was a time where God gave you a wake-up call. God saved you from a deathly accident. God, you were touched at a retreat or on a mission trip. You had this life-changing experience. You felt God's love and you said, that's it. From now on, I am yours. And then over time, you look and you say, that your commitment is no longer there. You found yourself, at one point I was Israel, and now I'm back to Jacob. That's exactly what God is saying. God is saying, go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where you made vows to God. Can you remember those times? Can you remember the time where you were, maybe were at, on fire with your relationship with God, where you had given Him so much, and you started to slay all the demons in your life and say, these friendships are bringing me away from God, no more. This music is evil, no more. These movies are inappropriate, no more. This place is where I waste my time, no more. And you started to give and give and commit, and then somehow, somewhere along the way, you found that your life began to fall away. We'll give you some hints. First, you're going to find verse 2. So God says, go back to Bethel. And he remembers Bethel's where he saw the ladder. Verse 2, and Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. What is this? Jacob, you want to tell me you have foreign idols in your household? God wrestled with you, busted your hip. You have a limp for the rest of your life. And you have foreign gods in your household? What's wrong with you? Jacob allowed different idols to creep in. The first thing is that we suffer from spiritual declines. The devil doesn't make you a Judas in one day. He doesn't make you a Judas in one day. But little by little, he uses the Rachels of your life. So we said that his favorite wife was Rachel. She was the pretty one. She was the one that he worked 14 years for. He got Rachel. But Rachel is the one that stole her household gods, her father's household gods, when they left her father's household. And she left with Jacob and she took those gods. There is something, there is a Rachel in your life. There is something that you love so much that the devil is using that to bring decay in your life, to bring decay in your spiritual life. Can you think what that Rachel is? Is there something that you love so much, because Rachel was the love of his life, that you love so much that the devil is using to let these household gods creep into your life? Can you identify it? There are certain things in my life where I know I love this too much and I could never give it up, and the devil knows that I could never give it up because I love it too much, that he says, this is the perfect thing, that if I can just sneak idols into your life through this person, that's it. I'm going to have control over you. In proportion to the decay in your life is the same way as the growth of some idol that you love. The decay, the lack of commitment to your prayer life, the lack of commitment to the spiritual commitments that you made, I'm going to attend spiritual meetings. Maybe think back on a time where you decided, I'm going to commit to a Bible study, and I have to make sure that I'm feeding my spirit every week, and I'm committed to that. Or I committed to a certain amount of prayer, or I have a certain spiritual rule, and now I don't have these things in my life. Decay. Some type of sin has created decay. It's just one hair at a time. You don't realize it. But overnight, over a long period of time, you're going to realize something has taken over my life. Egypt is the perfect example. For the last 80 years, the Muslim Brotherhood has been like their hands have been tied, they've been in prison, they've been doing nothing in Egypt. But every day they're planning a little bit by little bit. Until Mubarak came, in one day you find, what happened to Egypt? Egypt is no longer the country it was 2 years ago. Like 2 years ago, Egypt is a completely different country than it is today. It happened one day at a time for 80 years. There's something happening in your life, one day at a time. One hair at a time, it's slipping into your life, one by one. And you're not aware of it, and you don't see the drastic effect that it's having on your life, but the decay is spreading. It's creating idols in your life. How do you identify those idols? No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. If you cannot identify the idols in your life, you're in danger, because they're hidden and they're there and they're growing. And you won't realize it until you realize that I have a completely different God who's taken over my heart. Maybe it's the God of my friendships, and I worship my friendships, and my friendships are the ones that direct my paths. Maybe it's my lust. Maybe it's myself. Maybe my image is my God, and I'll do anything to make sure that my image is the way people want your image to be, you know, to be popular, to be pretty, or to be whatever it may be, to have this image, and you do anything to maintain that image, even if it means that you're going to sacrifice spiritual things. So what happens? Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Verse 3, then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way in which I have gone. He went back to the place that he made a vow, and he built another altar. And he recommitted himself. Today, this message is to say, go back to the place where you made vows to God. And go back and build another altar and say, that's it. I'm consecrating this altar and I'm starting fresh. I can't continue like this anymore. These idols, I have to bury them. Verse 4. So they gave Jacob. When they saw Jacob's commitment, and they saw that Jacob was going back to Bethel, they followed him. Sometimes you need to be the person that makes the decision that says, let's give up the gods now. Because those that are around you won't do it. But if they see you do it, they'll be encouraged to give up those things that we all know are sinful. There are sinful things that you have in your friendships. Sinful ways that you joke. Sinful ways that you talk about. Those things we need to decide with those that we love and say, let's bury the idols. No more. Let's get rid of them. And change our garments. And then it says, and the earrings which were in their ears, verse 4. So they gave Jacob all their foreign gods which were in their hands. And the earrings which were in their ears. Do you guys know what the earrings are symbolized in the Old Testament? The slaves used to wear earrings. They used to put earrings in the ears of the slaves. And so when they gave away their earrings, they're giving away the things that they've made themselves slaves to. They've slayed them. They've cut them out. How did they do that? It says, verse 4, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. If you do not, or if you identify certain gods in your life, and you don't bury them today, you're going to bring them out again. If you can leave these walls, if you've identified an idol in your life, and you don't decide to bury them today, that's it. And that's what Jacob did. Before he continued the journey, he took those idols and he buried them before he was going to leave, lest he would bring them out again, that the family would be tempted to turn to those gods. Is there something in your life that keeps on bringing you down? Is there something in your life that you know is the one thing that is the cause of your downfall? That the spread of decay, emptiness, guilt, shame, anger, whatever it may be, take it now and slay it. Bury it here. If it's addiction to TV, no more TV. Abuna, that's dramatic. It's dramatic because if it's an idol and it's another god, you're worshiping an idol. Sometimes we have to do extreme things and bury them in the places that we are. Because God won't escort a pack of idols with Jacob. If Jacob is going to continue with these idols in his life, going on to the journey of Bethel, in the place where he had made his initial vows, there's no way God is going to be with him. There's no way God can be with us as long as we take certain idols along with us for the journey. Either you bury them here, especially if you know that they're idols. If you know that there's something that's taken over your heart or over your life, and you don't bury it here, that's it. God can't accompany you. He can't accompany you on the journey knowing that you have other idols in your life. Then what do we see? Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, which is God of the house of God, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree, so the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. This is the second time that God called Jacob Israel. First time is when he wrestled, when God wrestled with Jacob, and he says, what is your name? He says, my name is Jacob. He says, you will no longer be Jacob, you will be Israel. Jacob found himself going back to the same craftiness, deceiving. They deceived the people of that city that raped Dinah. And so they found himself going back to that Jacob life. That Jacob life that has crept in. God is going to give us another chance. Maybe you're at that time where you've identified an idol. Where you once were in Israel with God, you were prince, you were full of power, you were full of God's presence, you were doing amazing things with God. And now you see yourself as Jacob. God is coming to you today and saying, what is your name? You might say, my name is Jacob again. I've gone back to Jacob. It's this time, God didn't ask him what his name was. It says, verse 10, and God said to him, your name is Jacob. God told Jacob, your name is Jacob. You went back to Jacob. Enough with that. Go back to Bethel. And go to the place where you wrestled with God, or where you saw His love. And then, from that place, your name will be Israel. If you guys have, like, subtitles on your Bibles, chapter 35, verse 16, what's the subtitle right above verse 16? The death of Rachel. If Jacob is going to be Jacob, and Jacob is going to be the great man of God that wants to become Israel, God knows that the only way that's going to happen is if Rachel is no more. What do we say? Rachel was the love of his life, was the thing that he loved so much that the devil knew very well that he can creep into God's in his life through that thing. Have you identified it yet? Have you been able to identify that you have a Rachel? There is something you love too much. Rachel has to die. Rachel in your life has to die. Rachel's the love of his life. It's not an easy thing. But if I want God, and I no longer want to be the deceiver, I no longer want to be the Jacob who I hate myself every day and I keep on going back to my sinful ways, Rachel has to die. Then you see in verse 11, also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land. How do you think Jacob felt? Every day he looks to himself, he cheats a new person. We said he's cheated his brother in the beginning out of his birthright. Then he deceived his father by dressing up like Esau. And then he deceived his uncle Laban. And we said that God wrestled with Jacob to stop him in his tracks, no more running and deceiving people. So God busted his hip. And then, at the end of that, God is telling him, Jacob, now be fruitful and multiply. I'm going to continue to bless you. Me? But God, don't you see all the bad things that I've done, all the vows I've made to you? That's our God. Jacob, I have loved. God has committed his love to Jacob. Even though he has this sinful nature inside of him, God is committed to making him an Israel. The same thing in you. God is committed to making you powerful, to get you to that commitment that you made, to fulfill it, to be able to fulfill the vows that you once said, I'm going to live a life of praise, I'm going to live a life of sacrifice, a life of worship, a life of service, a life of loving lonely people. But we need to sacrifice those things in our life. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Verse 13. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. We talked about Jacob did this when he saw Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. He took the same oil, put it on a stone, and consecrated it. He re-consecrated himself. He re-devoted his life, and God accepted that. You've made some mistake that's dragged you down from a commitment that you once made. And you feel like, that's it, I can't do it. I'm too weak, I'm too sinful. Jacob is your example. Jacob is the person that you see, he made another altar, and he put oil on it, and he said, this is the house of God. This is where God is going to dwell in my life. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel, which means house of God. It was the place where he met God in his commitment. I pray that we ourselves would identify the Bethels in our lives. Times where we made vows to him, commitments, where he revealed his love to us, where we had transforming times in our life, and at that point let God call you back to Bethel and reconnect and recommit your life to Christ. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Stand up and pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here before you, each and every one of us, knowing, Lord, that we are sinners, knowing that we are deceivers, deceiving ourselves and deceiving you and deceiving those that are around us, Lord. Each and every one of us can identify a time where we were Israel's, where we were experiencing your power and living in your glory. But Lord, each and every one of us has these moments which we backslide and we turn away from you. Can you call us back to Bethel? Can you call us back, Lord, to bury the gods that are in our lives, to identify them, Lord, and to slay them where we are, to give up our slavery to them, Lord? We could recommit our lives to you and go back to those promises that we once made to you. The day of our baptism in which we renounced Satan and all his impure works and all his despicable worship, and that we would live with you and obey your commandments and do all that is pleasing in your sight. not just, Lord, so that you would be pleased, but because you desire, Lord, that we would be exalted with you. We thank you for your great love, and we pray, Lord, that each and every one of us can go back to your house and recommit and consecrate our hearts and our lives to you. We pray this in your holy and precious name, through the intercessions of St. Mary, St. Mark, and the blessings of these days. Make us, O Lord, worthy to pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven.